So, hi everybody, and welcome to today's Ops This Is A Call on the 9th of January 2012. On the call so far, we have Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, Jim Galvin, Mark Custard, Mike O'Connor, and from staff we have Julie Hedlund and Christina Nordstrom. I can't recall any apologies, but I might have missed.
Okay.
Something. Oh. No. Nobody.
Maybe people will join a little late. We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for joining, folks. And here we are. We've got a fair amount of stuff to get through on the agenda today, but I don't think any of it's terribly overwhelming. The first one is an action item that I took and then forgot about, so I'm a little late on this, but as I was crafting an email to let the ACs and SOs know about our NIST 800-30 decision, I decided that the slide deck was a little sparse, so I made up a little bit more wordy version, and we can go through that. If Patrick joins us, we'll get an update from him. Julie's draft of the confidential information stuff seems to be coming in for final approach, so maybe we can tentatively approve that and push it off to the whole group. I may be on the call Thursday, and I may not. It turns out that this public hearing is moving around a bit, so I thought we would do a contingency thing of preparing for a no Mikey call on Thursday, but the odds are getting better that I'll be able to be on the call. On the other hand, I think it's probably a good idea for us to wean ourselves from all Mikey all the time on those calls, so I think this is a good exercise to go through. And then finally, I went really deep back into the methodology and want to talk through some things that I've discovered. That's that last one, which is review the methodology with an eye to narrowing what we're doing on the all-group calls. I think I'm getting a better and better feel for what's going on in the methodology, and I've accidentally squished too much work into one step, which is part of the reason it's so slow and so hard. So anyway, that's the agenda. Is there anything else that people want to talk about before we get started? Okay. On the screen in front of you, which, let's see, do I have complete control? Yes, I do, so I will drive for you, is just a slightly wordier version of that set of pictures that I extracted from the methodology that stands a little bit better on its own if somebody's flipping through it. And I added a page to it that talks about sort of our rationale for the decision, just to, you know, let the leaders of these ACs and SOs know, you know, why we did it and why we care. And since this is all new, I just want you to read it and see if there's anything in there that leaps out at you that drives you crazy before I go ahead and publish this to the whole world. I don't see anything tremendously controversial in there, but at the same time, you know, I'm always looking for course corrections and feedback. Anybody got any thoughts on this before I move on to the next page?
Minor typo should be pioneering may be something that can be repurposed.
Oh, thank you. I will fix that. I won't fix it in real time, but thank you for that.
I think it's great, Mikey. It's Mark.
Okie dokie. Good. Well, roll on ahead. Next thing I did is I put some context around something that the methodology pays a lot of attention to, which I think the next time we do one of these studies, if we use the same methodology, we or our successors will want to pay more attention to than our charterers did. I think our charterers did a fabulous job, but there's a bunch of tools in there in that part of the methodology that I think will make the chartering and the setting up of the group better. And I just wanted to highlight that a little bit. And then for those who are scratching their heads and saying, well, what in the heck have you people been doing? I think a lot of what we did between San Francisco and Singapore had to do with this stuff, a lot of methods, getting ready, kind of getting ourselves squared away in terms of process, all that kind of thing goes into this. So that's sort of that stage of the methodology. Then I kind of pointed out, I'm going to roar through these unless you stop me. If you see anything you want to change, just jump right in. On this one, the risk management hierarchy, I kind of wanted to point out that mostly what we're going to be doing is the very broadest layer, but that we may pick one or two to drill way down in as we go. Oh, Olivier, don't stand on ceremony. Just jump right in. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Mikey. It's Olivier. The graphic doesn't seem to appear correctly on my screen.
I'm seeing the same thing. This is Jim. That blue oval, there's something's not quite right.
Oh, really?
There's some words in there. There's a word or something in there behind the blue oval at the tip of the triangle.
Oh, yes, there is. And it's an artifact of the... Let me just check the original file and see... I may have to distribute this in PowerPoint rather than PDF, if that's really...
This is Mark. I think it's Russian.
You know, I wasn't going to mention that, but actually it's Swedish. Let me just see what happens.
Well, I sure can't read it.
No, it's definitely not readable.
The problem with IDNs, isn't it? It's not readable.
That's it. It's an IDN. I hate that. Okay, let me look at the original and see. Yeah, see, the original comes through just fine, and what it says up there is strategic risk as opposed to reform. So I'll distribute this in PowerPoint. Good catch.
Another minor typo here. Analysis should be analyses. SES at the end.
Okay. Let me just see it so I don't forget. Oh, yes. See it. Got it. All right. Okay, so then we go on to just giving them a sampling of one of the two big risk models. This is not the one we're working on right now. This is the adversarial one. And mostly what I was using this page for was to sort of give a plug for the good things that happen when you use a methodology like this. You get terminology and model and work plans and deliverables and all that good stuff. And then finally, and this is the thing I want to take up again in a little more detail at the end of the meeting, the actual work plan overview. And I think that what I've done, because I'm just learning this methodology for the first time, and I should have gone all the way through it in detail, and I didn't, is that when we are, and again, I see that we are speaking in tongues behind that blue, so I'll tell you that what that's saying is, hang on a minute.
Might just be because you have a fill in the oval. You know, I mean, if you turn that oval and even on the other page just into an outline, you might be fine.
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Oval to outline.
I mean, something to try anyway.
Yeah. I'll bet that's right, because I'm sure you're right. That's what's going on. Anyway, the thing that's behind that right in there is identify threat sources and events. And what happens is then later down in the methodology is where we get into likelihood. And I finally now understand what's going on with that term relevance. That isn't likelihood. I turned it into likelihood because I'm an idiot. But in fact, relevance is screening off some layer of the threat tree that you develop so that you don't wind up with a threat tree that's so big that you can't get through it. And so I'll circle back around to that when we get to the end of the call. But I think that changing our approach to that on the Thursday calls will help us get through this a little bit faster than we've been getting through it. So anyway, that's sort of the new version, and if you guys are okay with this, I'll go ahead and write a little short email that just is suitable for each of us to forward to our respective organizations and let each of us push it along to our respective council or whatever it is that we report up into. Getting a thumbs up from Mark. Anybody troubled by anything here? Yes, minus the Russian. Absolutely right. I'm not sure that's Russian. It sort of looks like backward Pig Latin to me, but hard to tell. Okay, on to the Patrick update. Patrick's not on the call yet, so I think we'll skip that one. Julie, you want to take over from here and...
Sure.
Because I don't know if we've got a current version of it on the...
No, we don't, because there's been many changes. There was a lot of back and forth on the list to it. Most recent changes, I think, were on Friday. Jim made some good changes, and then there was a response to Jim's changes, and then Jim, I can check back in the email, but did you make additional changes based on the responses that you received? I thought you did.
Yeah, I think I made one, but I confess even I don't remember at this point.
It was a quickly moving target. Obviously, what you sent was good and got good responses.
Olivier there jumped on board, and
I have the latest from you. It was from Olivier had sent a response. It looks like there's an attached version from you, because you said, "You're right, good catch." You said, "I propose to change the phrase DSSA work group members to DSSA work group members and sub working group members," and made this change in the attached document. So that is the latest version, it looks like.
Yeah, so I guess it's up to Olivier if that speaks to his issue. I tried to pick a relatively simple change to get at the point that he was making. There are other ways and more complicated ways I felt to fix that. But anyway, that's a suggestion. So he has to speak to whether or not that answers his question.
I was happy with that change, Jim. Thank you. I think it's already complicated enough. Let's just keep it simple, and that's fine for me.
All right. Well, that's good. Over to you, Julie.
This golden moment where we say, "Yep, this is complicated enough for ICANN," and we say, "Good."
Right. And so this is Julie. Then I think that I can go ahead and accept the changes in the latest version that Jim provided, and then shall I go ahead and send it to the full DSSA group?
Yeah, let's do that. Anybody? I'm feeling like we're certainly close enough for a first draft, given that we're not going to do any of this at any time soon. And so we could go ahead and test it on a subgroup if we need one, and then refine it again. But it seems awfully good to me. So let's do that. again, I'm looking for howls of protest. I'm not getting any, so let's roll with that, Julie.
Okay, great. Thanks, everyone. I will go ahead and accept those changes, and I'll submit it on behalf of this group to the full DSSA working group today.
Cool. All right. So then we get to the no Mikey meeting planning thing. And I just sort of wanted to brainstorm a little bit about this. One of the difficulties, I mean, I'm completely in love with these mind maps that I'm doing, but the problem is that it's software that only I own, and so when we become super dependent on that, on the calls, it means that the departure of Mikey and the departure of the software is crippling to the group unless we sort of plan in advance. And so I was just curious how we should approach that. Wondered what other people thought. I mean, you know, ideas range from I could buy somebody else a copy of it and people could come up to speed on how to use it, and they could just carry on in the same document. It's not free, but it's not terribly expensive. I think it's a couple $100. I was sort of curious as to whether ICANN would be interested in buying a copy of this for other projects, and if so, whether that could be done. But another totally different approach would be to essentially, what we're doing now is pretty straightforward. We're making a list of threat sources and threat events, and then we're evaluating them on those two dimensions, which is impact, you know, the breadth of the impact and the relevance. I'm going back to that terminology, and I'll amplify that in a little while. But, you know, we could easily do that in a note on the screen, and then I could just, you know, listen to the MP3 and pound all that stuff back into the mind map. And at some point, the destination clearly is not a mind map. It's a series of tables that are called out in the methodology. And
so I have, Mikey, I have two questions, and you sort of partially answered one there. You know, mind map is obviously a short-term thing. For some definition, is short-term, and I want to come back to that question. But you just said that ultimately we're not going to leave it in mind map. It's going to be a set of tables. What format would those tables be in?
They're called out in huge, excruciatingly painful detail in the methodology, and that's one of the things that I did over the holiday break, is I finally pushed my way through the process of documenting those in a form that I can understand, which was, of course, a mind map. But let me share that with you because...
Let me tell you where I was trying to get to here.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they would be in a format that, you know, others could edit. I mean, could they be dumped out into, you know, a Word document format, for example, or you know, whatever it is that they might be dumped into. I mean, that was one question. And then, I mean, as long as they're in something which someone else could at least reasonably pull in and have if they had to, I would think that rather than trying to solve the mind map problem per se, it might be sufficient to simply have you always, you know, kind of like a backup process. You know, you always dump it once a week or however often you make big changes and, you know, make that available in some way so that it's generally visible if anybody needs it, you know, when you get run over by a, you know, a cattle stampede or something. Anyway, I mean, I think you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah,
I mean, that might be a sufficient thing to do. At least the information's not lost. And, I mean, yeah, obviously we would struggle, but we don't have to spend a lot of time trying to solve a problem, which is not likely to be one. So that's one. My other second question is about time frame. I mean, do we have any sense of how long we're going to be in this thing? you know, I mean, if we're only talking months, then I'm even less inclined to want to deal with it. If we're talking, you know, a year or more, then maybe we do need to have someone else with access to mind map. Anyway, those are my comments. You want to?
Yeah, those are both great ideas. The answer to the first question is kind of the smite my forehead and say, "Duh," kind of. Of course, because the tables are all defined. The headers, the values, the works are all defined in the methodology, and that's clearly what I should have been doing all along. And it's easy to start them. I can spend the, you know, the next couple of days building at least the ones that we're working on right now. But, you know, there are a bunch of other ones that we've pretty much already done that I can probably also build. And then periodically, you know, one of the little post-meeting steps for me can just be to update those tables and post them out to the wiki, so that we basically start translating this stuff into its final form as we go, because I think that's what's making Bart a little bit nervous. I know that he's getting a little edgy about, you know, how are we going to turn this into a final report? And this is, I think, a huge piece of that. And so what we'll do is we'll just start doing it incrementally.
Do you see Olivier's question in the chat room here?
Let's see. Oh, yes, this is the FreeMind thing. Olivier, the trouble with FreeMind, at least in my experience, is that it seems to do fine with small mind maps, but when you get into ones the size of the one that I'm doing, it seems to whack off about a third of the mind map when you import it. The import-export cycle isn't as clean as I was hoping it would be. And so it would work fine if people just started a new one in FreeMind at the beginning of the call. And, you know, I could even send a template that said, okay, here's the example from which you'd build this. But if I send you the whole thing, you wind up with sort of a goofy result. And I think we could wrap ourselves around the axle. I was pretty disappointed to discover that when I imported one of these into there. It made a hash of it.
But on the other hand, in the spirit of being concerned about cattle stampedes, that's an issue we could get past if we absolutely had to.
Yes, and especially if you had the tables.
Right.
Because then you could build it in anything.
Right.
And so I think the cattle stampede problem is best solved not by going to a different tool or even a copy of the tool, but rather to go to the tables. And then people can pick the tables up and take them wherever their tools are most, you know, make it most comfortable. And so I think that the target should probably be a whole series of Excel tables for this. And I'll go ahead and build a gaggle of them for the Thursday call. As the backup, if I'm on the call, we'll just go ahead and keep going and mind mapping. But if I'm not, then the tables will be available. And whoever gets stuck with the job of chairing the meeting can use whatever they want. FreeMind would work fine.
I mean, as long as you can work in it, as long as you can read it enough to work with what you're working with, make whatever changes we have to make. And I mean, yeah, we're creating some extra process for a little bit of recovery or, you know, catch up if you're not the person who ran the meeting. But we can get past that without too much in investment, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
And in fact, it's
also a really good idea. it sort of kills two birds with one stone. It takes the dependency, the single point of failure in Mikey out of it, but it also moves us a step towards our final deliverable. And both of those are good things. And then in terms of the time frame, I'm pretty reluctant to predict. I know that we're not going to be done by Costa Rica, given how fast we're going on the, you know, we're doing the easy ones right now. We're doing the non-adversarial threats. But part of the thing that's challenging here is that we are the first to go through this process. And so we are teaching each other a lot of stuff. We're teaching each other methodology, and we're teaching each other terminology, and we're also sort of teaching each other about architecture. That whole conversation about, you know, what are the pieces of DNSSEC that we need to worry about is a good example of that. And so, while I don't think this is going to be super fast, I think it's going to be super useful, because then the next time through, there will be an awful lot for people to build on. And so I think it's worth it. It's just, I think it's going to take a long time. So that's my sense, at least right now. And I don't really know what a long time means yet. You know, we're still sort of getting our wings, and I'm still learning that methodology. And I think I wasted at least one meeting, and maybe two, by letting us get too detailed in this first part of the analysis. But we'll see. You know, I think we needed to do it, and I'm just disappointed that I hadn't gone through and learned the subsequent stages of the methodology before we did. There you go. Okay, so I'll go ahead and build some tables for somebody. So then the other question is, well, I guess one question would be, should we go ahead and do a non-Mikey meeting, even if I can make the meeting, just to sort of test our wings? I mean, if it turns out this hearing is canceled, which it looks like it's going to be, I'm happy to just carry on. But would it be a good idea to do sort of a practice run with somebody else, just to kind of discover what the kinks are and see if we can iron them out before we run into this problem for real when the cattle stampede happens? I just love cattle stampede. That. And if so, would anybody be willing to do it? Oh, Olivia wants to do it. Cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's a great idea, but as it turns out, I'm going to pass in regrets for this coming Thursday, so it's easy for me to say great idea.
Cool. Well, good. So, Olivier, maybe you and I can push some stuff back and forth between now and Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As long as you give me the clear instructions, I can do it. But it's just, you know, basically you need to know what to do.
Yeah. Well, rather than soak up any more time on this call, why don't I just do that? And I'll go first by building these tables. And then once they're built later on today, I'll push them to you. And
yeah. Email me a copy of Mind Map, too, because I have FreeMind. I've used it for many years, and I'm surprised, of course, that it's got this major bug in it. But
well, all the Mind Maps are out on the wiki.
Oh, they are. Okay. I'll,
yeah,
I'll try and have a look.
Yeah, so just grab one of the big ones, like the methodology or the threat tree. Either of those will get, I think, nicely mangled by FreeMind.
And I also have a very old copy of Mind Map somewhere, 2006, in one of my previous laptops. I could try and extract it, but I'm probably better to go for the safer option.
Yeah, and I think this is too new. I'm up a couple of generations from 2002, so I'm pretty sure the files are incompatible.
Okay.
Yes, and I will copy Bart and Julie on that conversation. That's a great idea as well, so that we can, you know, I'm sort of feeling like I did when I was an entrepreneur and started companies. I used to do everything myself at first until I kind of understood what was going on, and then I started giving work away, and I'm sort of in that giving work away phase now. I think I've got enough of a handle on what's going on that I'd like to start to step back from the all Mikey all the time stuff. So this is all good, and I'll copy. Maybe I'll just copy the ops group on the correspondence, because that way the co-chairs can too.
As a word of advance notice, it's Olivier here. It's not going to be all Olivier, by the way. Don't you think it's going to all? I've got my hands full, more than full, in fact. Arms, hands, the whole body is covered with work today. So.
Yeah. Well, and besides, you know, I kind of want to have Mark on the hot seat there once or twice.
As well, yeah.
Things that I'm going to do to him, buddy.
Actually, I had this issue with my arm. It won't raise.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Okay, I'll post a bunch of stuff to the ops list in a few hours that'll get this conversation going. And we'll take it from there. Okay. Now let's go back to the last point on the agenda, which is this thing about what we're doing in terms of the threat tree. I don't really have anything to share on the screen, so again, I'm just going to brainstorm with you on this. What's going on here is that we're in task 2.1. Oh, I will share this. Hang on just a minute. Let me share my screen, because there's a bunch of documentation in the methodology, which I went back and captured. And it's too long to just read to you. It's actually quite gigantic. And so let me just get that up there. Oh, that's mighty small. No, that's also not what I was expecting to have happen. What did I just do? Gracious. All right. There, that's better. What I did, and this mind map is out on the site as a PDF as well, and I would encourage you all to take a look at it. But here's where we are. We're at the identify and characterize the threat sources of concern to the organization, including the nature of the threats and for adversarial threats, the capability, intent, and targeting. And then in this mind map, there's now this, behind each task, there's something called supplemental guidance, which is in that giant PDF that we've been working off of. The trouble is that it's so dense that you can't comprehend it. It's one giant paragraph. It's usually a whole single-spaced page long. And so what I did, which doesn't make it a whole lot better, but it helps a little bit, is that I exploded it into chunks so that we could look through this. And so what we're really doing in our current work is we're identifying the sources of the threats. And we decided that we needed to combine the sources of the threats with what is really the next step, which is identifying threat events. And the reason we did that is because the question that the methodology was asking us about the threat sources, this one, is what's this range of effects thing? And, you know, there's the little tier, sweeping, extensive, wide-ranging, limited, minimal. And we said, well, it depends on what the threat event is. If the threat event is to the .com zone, then it's a big deal. If it's to .mikey, it's nothing. And so what we did is we got hung up on that. And I think that what we might, we have a couple of choices as a working group process leader team. We could either continue the way we are, where we are doing really two steps at the same time. We're doing the first step, which is identify the sources of the threats, and at the same time building the event list. And that's it's that combined list of threat sources and threat events that gets very long, very fast. And that's why suddenly we slowed to a crawl, is because we're going to have to do this anyway, and it made sense at the time to do them at the same time and basically build the threat tree. And I'm not adverse to continuing to do that, but I wanted to highlight that I very casually made a huge mistake, in at least as a methods type guy, in taking two major tasks and very casually smashing them together. I am on the fence, quite frankly, as to which way to proceed. And so this is a good question for us, the process gang, to sort of think about. And I think I'll stop at this point and see what your reaction is before I keep going. Any thoughts about which way is better? I'm not hearing an overwhelming outcry. Do we think that we could identify? The threat sources are the things like accidental misconfiguration of a major piece of infrastructure. That's the threat source that we're working on right now. Mm-hmm. The only threat source. And we have a list of about five or six. I can't remember what the rest of them are. And what this range of effects is all about is, if it turns out that the range of effects is pretty low, that strips off some of the work later on. Down the way, there's, at the end of the day, there's one gigantic table that we're going to be building, and we build it sort of column by column in the methodology. And what the methodology says is, if the range of effects is limited, minimal, et cetera, you just stop worrying about it. And the thing we ran into is the it depends problem, which is, misconfiguring a zone file in a big deal zone is a different thing, and that's where we conflated the threat event.
So, Mikey, are you asking for whether or not we should continue down the path we're doing, or if we should make a point of separating these tasks and enforcing that on the call?
Well, that's the question to the group, and precisely.
I guess the only comment that I'll make is, these NIST documents, when they start proposing process are great, But, you know, they're pretty general purpose. I mean, I'm not inclined to believe that it's absolute that we have to do it this way. I tend to think more in terms of you don't fix what ain't broke.
Right.
I mean, as long as we're making progress, I really don't see a problem. Others may feel differently, but, you know, that's my view.
Well, that's exactly what I want to hear from people. Olivier, Mark, any thoughts on...
So this is Mark. I wish I had some sage advice here, but I don't.
That's okay. I mean, you know, partly this is sort of learning, and I'm with Jim. I mean, I'm not a slave to methodology. I use methodologies as a source of ideas, but when they're not working, I change them. And it didn't seem like task two by one all by itself was working real well for us. And so combining them is fine. In terms of the tables, it's easy to strip the stuff back out into their respective tables because, as it turns out, there's a whole bunch of subtables that ultimately wind up in one table to rule them all at the end. And so we've basically just skipped a subtable step, and, you know, that's not a problem.
Mikey, this is Bart.
Go ahead, Bart.
I think I agree with you and Jim, of course, but I think what is important for future is that you document, say, this statement. Otherwise, people may get, say, in 1 or 2 years when they go back to say, this wealth of information, they might go off on a false track.
Ah, that's a very good point. That we should document, document changes.
Just as a bullet or whatsoever, but say have a kind of say we're using this, the working group is using this methodology and already encountered some issues, document them. If people in future want to use this, is that at least for future use, people are aware of the issues.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's right. And so I think what I'll do is, you know, in building a building, there's the architect plans, and then there's the as-built plans.
Yeah.
I think what I'll do in this one is I'll leave this. This is the pure methodology. And then I'll build a comparable document that describes the methodology as we used it.
Yeah, and don't go into real details, just very high level.
Yeah.
That's all what is necessary. The major choices made by the working group.
Right. Yeah. Because what I'm, you know, they have all these tables, D2, D3, D4, D5, and then the next one is, you know, E and F and G, and ultimately it winds up in this table I5, which is the one table that rules them all. And it's a very tall table because it's every threat and every threat event pair. That's basically what we're building, is these, because the relationship between threat source and threat event is many to many. And so we sometimes wind up with several threat events for a single threat source, but then when we get to the next threat source, we're going to see that the same threat events repeat. And so we wind up with this giant table of the combination. Okay, well, that's helpful. I will I'll do that, and we'll keep going the way we are with Olivier at the helm, based on tables that I'll prepare and send to the ops group in the next few hours after I get my stupid server running again.
That's good.
Somebody Olivier, did you want to jump in?
It was just Olivier here, just saying sounds good. And with regards to the methodology, I like the fact that we are developing methodologies. And certainly, as Part says, if it's all duly annotated and tracked, then people will be able to come back to this in the future. But, of course, as in any development of methodology, we are discovering things with time, which means we might find that sometimes there is some serious resilience in what we're doing, or repeat in what we're doing. So I haven't got any specific view as to whether we should go on or not, though. Sorry.
Well, I think that one of the nice things about this is that this is not a shy group of people. If we get off track, I think folks like Cheryl and Rick and all the rest of us will stick their hand up and say, hello.
Yeah.
We're lost here. So I think it's going to be fine. Okay. Well, that's it for me. Anything else that's on people's minds before we wrap up the call? Okay. Well, as always, it was a pleasure, and hopefully I'll see you on Thursday. And we'll start passing this around a little bit so that we don't have the cattle stampede issue. Cattle stampede, I think, is going to sneak into term of art in this.
Well, I just chucked that in there because, you know, you're a gentleman farmer, so that's what occurred to me.
Of course, in true ICANN style, we need to call it CS, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. Another acronym. Yeah. Well, and
as always, thanks, Mikey.
We could work paddock in there too, because that's also become a term of art in here. Great. Okay, gang. Thanks a lot, Christina. I think you can wrap up the recording now.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
See you later.